Hello, and welcome to Grants Creek Baptist Church in Maysville, North Carolina. We are a Southern Baptist church with a heart for worship, sharing God's love with all people by being the hands and feet of Jesus. We pray that you are truly blessed by this recording of our Sunday morning worship services with Pastor Steve Grissom. Join us now as Pastor Steve leads us through the Word of God.
Thank you, choir. That was beautiful. Sometimes he whispers. I think of the passage of Scripture as the Israelites, they were standing before the Red Sea, and there was an army of Egyptians behind them. And the Lord told Moses to tell the people to be still and let me be God. Good morning. It's good to see you here this morning. It's good to have you here. I do want to make just a couple of remembrances. Tonight we have a baptism. We have probably five or six people that will be baptized this evening at 7 o'clock. So please, please come to celebrate this wonderful time in these people's lives. And as I put out last week, also I'll be starting the disciple training class on September the 17th. If you have an interest in that, please get with me or leave a note on my desk or send me an email so that we can make preparations for that. Well, we're in Luke chapter 8, or actually I'll be probably reading more from Mark chapter 4, the parallel passage on this. And It's interesting as we've come to this place in these eight chapters of Luke, and I know that you're thinking, we will be here the next decade if we keep up at this pace. But I hope that you would be able to tell other people and share what the Gospel of Luke is really saying. And as we go through this too, you understand that Luke is not following necessarily a chronology of events that's happening, but the theology is what he's more focused on, and what it is that we're hearers, that we are responders, and we'll see today that through the hearing and response that we will have faith. How many of you guys have ever been out on the ocean in a boat? Yeah, a lot of you. Wow. I've never been out on the ocean. I've been in a lot of creeks and been in some rivers. But I've never been out on the ocean. I know a lot of friends of mine, they like to go on cruises, you know, get on these big boats and go out and eat a lot. And I think that's the only reason they go, just an excuse, because it's a buffet and you can eat 24 hours a day. And so you just eat whatever you want. I don't know. We've never done it. Kim and I, we've never been on a cruise. Our honeymoon, we went to Nag's Head. And we didn't have any money. A family member gave us $100, and we stayed at a hotel two nights, and then we came home, and that was it. And I don't know why Kim stayed with me. She knew what she was getting into after that. Yeah, but we did go on a cruise. We went on a cruise, and the name of the cruise I think is the North Carolina Ferry System. We left from Ocracoke and went over to Cedar Point, you know, and traveled that way back home on our cruise. We lived in Blunt's Creek, and we were going to take the long way around because we wanted to stop at a fine dining facility in Moorhead called Elle's Diner. And we stopped there. We had $3 left, you know, after our trip, and we split a hot dog and a Pepsi. And What a great time that was. But on the cruise ship that we were in, you know, and the accommodations that we had there was in our car, and it was a 77 Datsun. And it was really funny because the weather got kind of rough, and I was watching my wife, and she was getting seasick. I thought it was ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous. You're getting seasick in the Pamlico Sound. It doesn't make any sense. And about a half a minute later, I was seasick. So I don't know if that's why we've never gone on a cruise, Melanie. It's not been a real appeal to us to get out there and each of us hang over a railing somewhere. I don't know. But I've noticed some of you that have been in the ocean, especially if you've been fishing or if you were in the Navy or the Coast Guard or something, you've probably seen some rough weathers. You've seen the waves get big. I remember that movie, The Perfect Storm, and that boat as it come into that wave, and that wave was as big as a building, you know, just huge. And imagine how small you are, you know, in a place like that. It's just interesting to me how big the ocean can be at times. Well, this morning we're going to look at this familiar story in the Bible. We've all heard it. We've heard it since we were in Sunday school. The story where Jesus calms the sea. And I think it's going to be interesting. It's been a very helpful lesson to me in my life many times as I've reflected on this particular story and how Jesus calmed the sea. And I know that all of us face, you know, storms in our lives. We run into things that we're just not expecting. And the thing that we like to do in storms is we like to be prepared for them, don't we? We like to be ready for when the storm comes. You know, I think about in today's world, we live with the Weather Channel, and a storm can be off the coast 2,000 miles, and we're getting ready for it. A storm can be off the coast 2,000 miles, and people are headed to Piggly Wiggly, and they're going to buy every loaf of bread and every gallon of milk in there. By the time I get there, Chris, all they've got left is hot dog buns and maybe a half pint of skim milk. What are you guys doing with all the bread and the milk? You cannot be eating that. I picture you in my mind, everybody sitting around the table, and they're taking the loaf of bread and they're just eating slices of it, and they're washing that stuff down with the milk. But truthfully, we can't plan for every storm, can we? You might like to think that you can, but they come in the most unexpected times and in the most unexpected ways. When that doctor sits down with you and says that there's something on the x-ray and that he'd like to do surgery. When that place that you worked for the past 30 years tells you not to come in tomorrow because they're going to close the business down. That husband that you've been married to for 20 years comes in and says, I love someone else. I don't want to be with you any longer. These are the storms that come in our life, friends, and they always will come. You may not see all of them, but many times you'll see a lot of them. There's so many that we face every day. How do you deal? How do you deal with these events that arise in your life? You know that they're coming, but we always seem so when they hit us. You know in your heart that things are going to happen to you in this life, but when they do, it's like you're overwhelmed and I can't believe this is happening to me. Every person on this planet will deal with these things or some level of these things. Most of those in the world respond to these situations in panic and in fear. Feeling that there is no hope and that everything is lost, they feel that they're on a sinking boat. It's interesting that the Lord uses this story, isn't it? They're in the midst of a great storm and the water is flooding into the boat, and they feel that this storm will surely end their lives. Do you know that we were doing this message today, Faith?
I figured it out last week.
Very good. Thank you for the Thank you for the song. I'm going to read a familiar passage this morning, and I pray that it'll give you hope. It's certainly given me hope, and I know that it's given lots of people hope in their life. And I know we're in Luke's gospel, and I'm going to refer back to Luke's scripture in a moment. We're going to look at Mark's gospel, the parallel passage. It's a very short story, but it gives a little more detail that I want us to look at. So I'm going to ask you if you'll stand as we read Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. Mark 4, verse 35 through 41. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with them. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him." Let's pray. Father, we listen for you this morning. Speak to us. Calm our hearts. Let us hear only from you and not the distractions that are all about us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Now, it's obvious that the Lord was exhausted. He was give out. He'd gone so long, and if you remember our stories, it seems like he never seems to get a break. He just needed to get away. He just needed to get away for a little while to get a little rest and to be able to recoup, you know, from the situations and the trials and the difficulty he was going through. And even though this storm was coming up, he got in the boat and he went to sleep. And if you remember in our last study, Jesus was just in the home. Now, I don't know if this is the chronology that this is in, but if it is, he was in the home of someone, and he didn't even have enough room where he could sit down and eat. And his mother and his brothers came, and they were worried about him, right? You remember what they said about him and why they went to fetch him? Do you remember? They thought that he was losing his mind, it says. And we look at this and say how crazy this is to think that anyone would think that Jesus was losing his mind. But they were concerned about him because he was so overworked. He didn't have a chance to rest. We know Jesus was exhausted. Bone tired. Bone tired. You ever been that way? You ever been just bone tired? Just wish, please just leave me alone. Just for 5 minutes, I'd like to have a little peace. Just so tired. Had given yourself day after day after day and just exhausted. And most likely the giving of yourself was probably unappreciated. Most likely it was expected of you. That you are just expected to do this and work all these hours and devote yourself to this as if it's your whole life. And those that were expecting these things of you never even considered the fact that you may be getting tired, that you may be exhausted. Has it ever happened to you? Jesus is tired, and he tells his disciples that they want to go to the other side of the lake. Go over there. It's about a 5-mile trip. 5 miles in a sailboat would probably take in a few hours. And he would have got a little rest. Could have got a nap. Much needed nap. So he takes advantage of it. He crawls into the back of the boat and he goes to sleep. Because just when you believe that you might get a little rest, that's when those around you begin to panic. Jesus had become very popular everywhere he went. You know, just throngs of people, crowds of people came to see him, never give him a break. He was always preaching. He was always teaching. He was always healing people. And he had a lot to tell people, but most people were concerned about themselves. They were concerned about their physical situation, as people are today. The Lord's got a lot of spiritual things that he wants to teach to you, but most people are only interested in their situation physically. My finances, my life, my happiness, my sickness, my health, whatever it may be, it's always about those things, but the Lord has so much more he wants to teach you. But he was accommodating. The people came, he healed them. He taught them as he could, but he healed them. But he rarely got a moment to himself. And when you're popular or in certain positions of responsibility, people are always expecting you to be a part of the events in their lives. All the things that you plan, all the things that you want to do, all the things that are important to you, people expect you to be a part of that also. Not realizing that you may be pulled in a dozen different directions from other folk. Because that which is important to them must be important to you also. And also, if there's a problem that's occurring, then you are the person that's sought out to fix it. No matter what it is, for some reason you become the final resource handling a situation that no one else seems to be able to resolve. And it's not just given to you in the hopes that you can do something. It's given to you with the expectation that you'll do something to fix it. Now, you're pulled in so many different directions, you sometimes just want to scream. And what you really need is just a few moments of rest. What you need is a nap, right? Naps are great. They are wonderful. I love a nap. I always enjoy my Sunday afternoon nap. I always look forward to them. What do you call me, Kim, when I'm sleepy? What do you say? What is it? Slangry. So there's two things that with me. I'm either hangry, I'm hungry, that makes me angry, and if I'm sleepy, I'm slangry. So if you ever hear that term, you straighten her out. You know that I'm not ever slangry. See, even the small thing seems to be impossible because other people in their moments of panic, you know, believe that you must be involved in their panic also, don't they? And listen, if you're not panicking with them, if you're not panicking with them in their panic moment, then you know what? You must not really love me. Because if you really loved me, you'd be as worried as I am. If you really loved me, you'd be at your wit's end also, right? Well, we see Jesus is worn out. He's ministered all day. He's completely exhausted. He's instructed his friends to go to the other side of the lake. This is Lake Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias, all the same place. Just different people named it and used it depending on the culture of the folks that were around it. Luke's gospel says in verse 23, it says, As they sailed, they fell asleep. You ever been around people when you get in the car with you, as soon as they sit down, they're snoring? You know? I mean, it's just like, what is this? I mean, are you really that tired, or do you just like to sleep that good, you know? Kim and I have traveled on planes quite a bit in the past couple of years, I guess. And we had a long trip to the Philippines, and we were trying to figure out how we were going to sleep 16-hour leg one way. 16 hours for somebody my size, and we didn't go first class. We were just above the luggage section. 16 hours sitting in one spot, and so desperately I wanted to sleep. Could not sleep for 16 hours, cramped up. The people next to us, before we got off the runway, they were snoring. 16 hours they snored. They liked to sleep, or they had some good medication. I don't know. I find it a little interesting here that Mark shares this little thing, that there was another boat that went on the journey. Wonder why that was. Wonder why there was another boat that went on the journey. Wonder why it was even mentioned, you know. What? A rescue boat. I think it probably was more to witness. Okay. You know, because a lot of folks would have said, you know, yeah, there was a storm. Yeah, it calmed down. It was all good. You know, because the disciples, they would have just said, yeah, Jesus did it. And they said, really? Really? I don't know if Jesus did. But it was another boat that saw the same thing that they saw. They didn't know what was going on. They were probably looking out, what's going on over there? And all of a sudden, boom, everything stops. No more wind. The waves stopped immediately. Anyway, it says here in 37 and 39, it says, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Now, these disciples had set out on a calm night, go across the sea, as they had done literally hundreds and hundreds of times in their lives. These were fishermen. These were seasoned seamen. This was not the first time they'd been on a boat. And this was not the first time they'd seen a storm. These were men that were used to this sort of action. And they'd gone across there many, many times. These storms were not uncommon, though, on the Sea of Galilee. This sea was about 13 miles long and about 18 miles wide. At this particular point in the lake, it was about 5 miles across to where they were going. This sea here was 600 feet below the sea level. And on the eastern shore of the lake, there was a mountainous region. And this even occurs today. there's a mountainous region there, and as those winds and that air comes off that desert area and comes up into the cool regions of the mountain and is drawn down 600 feet below sea level, sometimes that atmospheric pressure can change in such a way that a hurricane takes place. A hurricane. A huge, huge storm. Now this storm here is interesting when you look at the word here, the word squall or whatever it was that was mentioned here. It gives an idea of a terrible storm. And even in some of the other translations, it gives the idea that it was even as an earthquake took place in underneath the waters because of the vastness of the storms that was happening. Let me just say this, it was unnatural. It was unnatural. It was an unnatural storm. And the reason that it was, I believe, is because the devil is at work. Now you say, well, the devil doesn't have anything to do with storms, friends. I'm going to tell you, the devil's got some powers. And you don't need to be deceived and think that he doesn't have some powers. He doesn't have any control over your life, but he does have some control of things that are around your life. How you respond to those things is totally up to you. Okay. So he lay down and he was wanting to get a rest, and then the next thing he hears is, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" They were upset with Jesus, right? They were upset with him. It sounds like it to me. Don't you care? That's not a very polite thing to say. Have you ever had anybody say that to you? Don't you even care about me? Don't you care about what I'm going through? Don't you care about all the things that I'm having to deal with? Don't you care? Now he's sleeping, and they think they're about to die. Doesn't he care about my life? Doesn't our Lord care that we're in a desperate situation? How many of you here today have ever prayed a prayer like that? Oh, you can be honest. You don't have to raise your hand, but you can be honest with yourself. Haven't you ever said, "Lord, don't you understand the situation that I'm going through? Don't you realize that I can't deal with this? That I'm not going to be able to make it unless something happens? Lord, why are you allowing me to go through this hardship that I'm going through? Do you not love me, Jesus? Do you not even care? Don't you realize that I am about to drown?" You ever prayed a prayer like that? If you're honest, I believe that we've all prayed a prayer like that sometime in our life. And when people panic, they will say and do just about anything. When we're in a state of panic, we will say and do just about anything, and we don't even care who it hurts. We don't care who it hurts because we feel like that person that's splashing around in the ocean and he's going down for the last time. That's a frightening feeling to be out in the water when you're having difficulty getting back up. Any of you have been caught in some currents and stuff that was pulling you away? Very scary, isn't it, Raphael? When people panic, they'll say about anything. Reasoning goes out the window at that point. As I read this encounter, I wonder just what the disciples were expecting Jesus to do. Because, listen to me, obviously they didn't think he was going to do what he did. They weren't expecting, because when he did it, he was like, "Well, what was that all about?" So wonder what they thought he was actually going to do. I mean, they woke him up to do something. Wonder what it was. I wonder what it was. But it doesn't matter, does it? When we're in a desperate situation, the only thing we care about is that you fix it. I know I got myself into it. I know I'm probably to blame for it. That really doesn't matter at this point. I just want you to fix it. And I want it fixed now. I don't want it fixed a month from now. I don't want to see the results a year from now. I want it fixed today. Don't you care that we're about to die, Lord? So what does Jesus do? What does he do? Well, he fixes it. That's what he does, doesn't he? I read this and I study. How many of you like James Taylor? Everybody. I know you should. Everybody should raise their hand. James Taylor. I like the song, "The Handyman." You go home and listen to it now. But I love James Taylor. I'm thinking of doing a series of songs on James Taylor. Not on the songs, but how it relates to God. But handyman, that's what he is, though. A lot of time he fixes things, doesn't he? He fixes things in our lives. We call on him and he can fix things. Now, it's not going to be that easy. And it's not what the message is about. But I'm telling you, this is how I think of him sometimes. I relate him to a lot of songs when I'm preaching and studying. Now, I want you to realize something today. The miracle that Jesus performed was not the stilling of the storm. You listen to me. The miracle was not the calming of the storm. Nature would have done that eventually. The storm would have calmed. The winds would have stopped. The waves would have eased off. And it would have eventually calmed down. That wasn't the miracle. The miracle was the speed that it ended. Okay? So, I want you to continue to think about this, because there's storms. It wasn't the stopping of the storm. It wasn't the preventing of the storm. It was the speed in which He calmed the storm. And I know when you read these lessons like this, and we think, Jesus will do this in my life. He'll just calm the storms in my life. He'll just fix these problems in my life. Every time I go through something, He's going to take it away. No. No. That's not the lesson here. And we're going to get to that in just a minute, so don't go nowhere yet. Okay. It was a suddenness, and all of a sudden the hurricane stopped. The roaring of the wind ended. The noises all around them, they were yelling at each other. I always kind of pictured this. All this noise, and hey, John, hey, Peter. And then all of a sudden everything quiets, and they're still yelling, and they're saying, stop yelling. I can hear you. You ever been in a music store sometime? My daughter was, when she was little, we went into some record store. Well, maybe it wasn't called a record store, but it was a record store when I was a kid, and they had records and 8-track tapes. But we were in there, and Kenzie had these earbuds in, and she was listening to some song in there, and she was singing to the top of her voice, and everybody was looking at her, you crazy little kid, you know? But you didn't hear it. You didn't hear it. It was a suddenness that this all had happened. Complete silence. The waves had been splashing in the boat, filling the boat. Think about sinking the boat. Stopped. It was as if a giant hand had just come down and just pushed it still. Just stopped it. Immediately. The entire lake was still. And this was not a natural phenomenon, friend. This was a supernatural one. And you have to imagine that the disciples' mouths had to have been hanging open at this point. Jesus, he gets up out of the back of the boat. He stumbles up. Probably grabs a hold of the mast so he don't get thrown out of the boat too. And he says, quiet, be still. Or to King James, I like better, it says, peace, be still. And in essence, he said, hush, hush. You ever have kids that are squirming around in church? Sometimes you look at them and go, shh, 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 shh. Looking at you, Mark. Then the wind died, and it was completely calm. Do you wonder why Jesus spoke to the wind? Did the wind need to hear His voice? Did the wind need to hear His voice? Who needed to hear His voice? Disciples needed to hear His voice. And He spoke to the wind. There's sometimes that we speak to people, but we want other people to hear it. Amen? Okay, sometimes we got something to say, but it may not just be necessarily that I'm saying just to you. I want somebody over here to listen to me also. The disciples needed to hear that. Why? What have they been seeing? What have they been seeing? They've been seeing this man. He's been healing people. I mean, all kinds of people. He's caused people to be well before he even got to their house. He went and saw people and said, you need to get up, son, from the dead. And they got up and walked and talked to him. They had seen all of this. And now he's saying, peace, be still. And the waves and the wind have stopped. What's he trying to tell his disciples? Listen to me, friends. He's saying that I'm not just Lord over people's bodies. I'm not just Lord over nature. I am Lord over everything. And I am Lord over your life. And that's what He wants to teach us then. And that's what He wants to teach us today. That I want to be Lord of your life. There's power in His words, friends. There's power in His words if you'll listen to His words. I love Genesis 1. I love it. Genesis 1, 3 and 6, 11, 14, 20, 24. This is why He says, And God said, let there be light. And God said, let there be expanse. And God said, let there be water. And God says, let the land reproduce. God said, and these things happen. When God says, hush, it happens. It happens in the storms, and it happens in your life as well. If you listen, These men cried out in desperation. I'm certain that they had done all that they could do. I'm sure they had. I'm not thinking they're sitting around playing pinochle and think, well, why don't we wake up the Lord? You know, I just don't feel like messing with this tonight. But when they realized that their situation was that desperate, they turned to Him. They turned to Him. I wonder if they were thinking of the psalm. And I don't know if you've ever read this psalm. This is a seafarer's song. For you Navy men and you Coast Guard folk, you may know this one. In Psalm 107, 23 and 30, listen to these words. And I picture this, if they knew this particular psalm, they were seeing it unfolded before their very eyes. It says, "Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, His wonderful deeds in the deep. For He spoke and stirred up the tempests that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end." That's why I don't go on cruises, okay? "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of the distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed, and they were glad when it grew calm, and He guided them to their desired haven." Jesus fulfilled the psalm before their very eyes. These men were afraid, and they were certainly panicked, and there's no doubt they believed they were about to die. And Jesus asked a crazy question. "Why are you afraid? Are you kidding, Lord? Do you not see us knee-deep in water in this boat? Why are you afraid?" "Because they lacked faith," He said. They lacked faith. They were in the boat. They were in the boat with the One who spoke the waters into existence. And they were afraid. And they were afraid of what was about to happen. I'm often overwhelmed with science, creation. I'm amazed that there are billions or countless billions of stars and planets in the universe. And every one of them, friends, is known by God. And every one of them is in the exact place that He wants them to be. I could take a spoon of this water right here, and in a microscope, I could look at it and see millions of cells or atoms just floating around. And around those, billions of neutrons just swirling around all of those. And in a cup of water, all of them organized, all of them in place, all of them with the purpose. And it didn't just happen. I think about what science is teaching people in schools today, that there was some primordial goo on the planet, and something happened in there, and some cell evolved, and out of that cell, given a few billion years, it crawled out of that goo and became you and me. How much faith does it take to believe that? All these things, friends, are controlled by God. He is the God of everything. He is in control of everything. And you might be in a great storm today. You might have battled this storm for a long time. And you've tried everything that you possibly can to fix it. And you don't even realize that the One that's in the boat can still the worries in your heart today. It can cause the storms to cease and bring peace and joy. And all He desires for you is to call on Him. Trust in Him. Have faith. This is why people become afraid, because they lose faith. Faith is the answer to fear, friends. And this is the lesson that we've got to learn. Faith is always the answer to our fears, regardless of what they are. Jesus put His finger right on it. Have you no faith? How would these men have reacted, or acted rather, if they had had more faith? Well, I think the first thing that would have happened, they probably wouldn't have wakened the Lord. They would have let Him sleep. They may have struggled. They may have known that they were going to go through some difficult time, but they would have had faith knowing that they were in the boat with the Creator. They would have done so because their faith would have reminded them of two great facts, friends. Number one, the boat was not going to sink. It couldn't sink with the master in it. He was the one who was the master of the earth and the skies and the water that they were in. And the other thing, too, that they would have realized, the storm won't last forever. It won't last forever. Let me just say this again. When you're in the boat with the master of the sea, it's not going to sink. And also the storm that you're going through right now is not going to last forever. And you say, well, I've struggled with this until the day I die. Then you've been relieved of the storm. Because you go into paradise, beloved. And there's no storms there anymore. Our Lord desires for you and me to have faith. He wants you to rely on Him in these times of trouble that we go through. He wants us to turn to Him and believe that He is the one that can overcome the storms and turmoils in your life. And because He loves us, sometimes He'll test us. And He tests our faith. And a lot of times He tests it in order for us to grow. And when our faith is strong enough, we will see that He can and will handle every problem that we deal with in life. But that faith has to be developed sometimes. Let me just say this also. Even when our faith is weak, He'll still lift you up. He'll still lift you up. He won't let you go, beloved. He won't let you go. Trust in Him. And I ask the question, do you trust in Him? Do you believe that He'll bring you through the storm that you're in the midst of right now? I know that some of you must be. I'm always amazed at how we resist conflict. We look at adversity as a sign of not being in the will of God. When we go through some difficult time, we think, well, God's against me. That's not the reason. That only when we're blessed, and our idea of blessings is that when we got everything's going sweet and we got a lot of stuff and we appear to be happy, that we are in God's will. We must look at our lives the way that God sees them, friends. I'm just being honest with you. He's not really interested in you so much just the way you are right now. He's looking at the end product because He knows the purpose He has in your life. And there's things that's going to happen in your life to bring you to that particular place. And most of the time it's trials and difficulties. And we may be asking the question, why am I going through this time, Lord? And His answer is, because I love You. Because I love You. That's why you're going through some difficulties in your life. Christ shows His love through the development of our character. Not just by having more stuff. And our character will never become more reliant upon Him if we do not experience some things that will rub us wrong. I love that passage of Scripture. The men use it a lot. In Proverbs 27:17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I love that passage. I needed my axe a few weeks ago. We were working on a place there in Chocowinity, and there was a bunch of old vines and stuff around. And I got that thing out, and I started whacking away, and that thing was just bouncing back on me. I nearly hit myself in the head by chopping something with the axe. And I looked at it. It was so dull, it was rounded on the end. I got my file out of my toolbox, and I started working on it. And I could just hear that axe going, oh, no. Oh, that hurts. And I'm just rubbing on that thing and breaking down those burrs and bringing an edge on that thing. I was honing it. And I took it over to that place I was chopping and whack, cut it right in two. The axe was not useful to me like it was. But only after it had gone through some adversity, some honing, it became useful. And God knows the same thing about you. Sometimes, friends, you're just dull. And God wants to bring you to a point, a place where you're sharp enough that you can be used properly. Don't run away from it. Accept it. Welcome it. God just can't use us if we're that dull, friends. And I'm not talking about minded. I think about my marriage. If everything in our marriage had just been like some storybook, Kim and I would have never endured 35 years together. It was because of the storms that we weathered through together. That's caused us to be more faithful. Long time ago, friends, Kim and I realized that God's in control of our life. You know what? There was times when we didn't have groceries. There There was times we couldn't put gas in the car. There were times when they came around and cut the lights off. There were times when they cut the water off. There were times we had some hard times. But we didn't run from God because we knew in our hearts the storm would not last forever. Because God had not abandoned us, friends. God had not abandoned us. If we never go through a honing process, we'll never be truly useful. If you can't see beyond the storm that you're in, then most likely you're going to linger there for a while. Look beyond the storm. James 1, 2 and 4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops what?
Perseverance.
Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything." Verse 40 and 41 says, "He said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this even the wind and waves obeying?'" And I ask you this morning, friends, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Do you realize who's in the boat with you today, friends? Do you look upon Jesus just as those disciples looked at him and were afraid and were in awe? And let me ask you this. When was the last time that you know that God delivered you? Listen to me. When was the last time you know that it was out of your control and you know that it was only by God's grace that he delivered you out of a circumstance and you fell on your face and worshiped him? Let me just be honest with you. Most of us, when we're delivered in times like this, we just go, "Thank you, Lord," and just keep right on trucking. I'm telling you, friends, you and I need to fall on our faces and realize that God is an almighty God. He is not just our buddy. He is an amazing God. He is the creator. He is the sustainer of all things. And we need to fall down on our faces and recognize that he is in control of everything in my life. Listen, friends, he wants to be Lord of your life. He doesn't want to be a part of your life. He doesn't want to be involved in your life. He wants to be the Lord of everything in your life. I love the Casting Crowns song. I'm not going to sing it, Chris. I know you're disappointed, but I'm going to read some words. He says, "I will praise you in the storm, and I will lift my hands, that you are who you are no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in the storm." Amen? I just wonder, do you think you're in control of the storm that you're in today, friends? The lesson that you and I need this morning is that Jesus Christ is majestic. He is King. He is Lord over everything. And whether it's an intervention and a cancer is removed or remains, whether our marriage is put back together or it ends in a divorce, whether or not that wayward child comes back home or they never come back, the storm itself is vital for you and I to make that discovery. And that discovery is that Jesus is Lord of everything. So stop being afraid of the storm, friends. Know that the maker of the storm is in the boat with you right now. Right now. And that doesn't mean just because the Lord's in the boat with you that the storm is going to stop immediately. But you can recognize the fact that it will not last forever. And while he's in there with you, beloved, it's not going to sink. Amen? Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, God, you are the Lord of our life. Let us trust you. Let us have faith. Let us recognize that. And let us not be surprised when these storms come along. It's just an opportunity then for us just to turn to you, O Lord, and just say, "All right, God, I'm with you. Show me what you're going to do." I pray, God, if there's a soul in here today that's struggling with some storm in their life at this time, that they'll turn to you. Now, stop trying to deal with this and fixing things on their own. They'll turn to you. They'll turn to you and have peace knowing that you'll bring them through it.
As we've come to the close of today's message, how is the Holy Spirit using this sermon to speak to you? Have you decided to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or are you in need of prayer for spiritual or physical needs? There's no better time than right now to reach out to God in prayer. We would love to pray with you or hear about your testimony. You can contact us on the web at www.grantscreekbaptist.com to let us know of a salvation decision, a prayer request, or to email Pastor Steve about your relationship with the Lord. If you're looking for a church home, then look no further. Welcome home to Grants Creek Baptist in Maysville, North Carolina. Join us for our worship services on Sundays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and you can also join us for Sunday school at 9:45 a.m. On Wednesday evenings, we have a Bible study and youth activities starting at 7. Be sure to check out our calendar of events on our website to see other special programs that happen throughout the week. Thanks again for listening to today's sermon with Pastor Steve Grissom. We look forward to worshiping God together with you real soon.